We've been friends a long time. We can discuss anything, right?
Sure, bud.
Well, I have an issue.
No kidding. You cheer for Boston.
An issue down there?
Hey, half of all guys experience erectile dysfunction. Heard of Felix? Felix connects you to a doctor for an assessment. No appointment, no pharmacy visit, no awkward conversations. Treatment is delivered discreetly to your door.
Sounds great.
I just wish you'd be more discreet about wearing that Boston jersey in Toronto.
Go to felix.ca/drive to start your online visit.
Well, it's one thing to have to wait to get on the air when Japan's playing or Germany's playing or Spain or the U.S. or Wales or whatever, but we're willing to wait for Canada. It would have been a lot better, though, if they got a better result because they played so well. They played so well. Oh, you were watching. Kara Wagland's in here today, and like it was an incredibly proud, like patriotic moment watching them walk out of the tunnel, and they were rolling.
Can we not go with this as a country? Like, let's have a winning mentality. And I, for some reason, and this should be true, but the whole idea of they prove they belong, I kind of don't like it. You know what I mean? It's like. Soccer terms, and you tell me. I mean, maybe you don't even know. Is that as good as you can play and lose?
I think so. That's my concern, is that they played their A game and Belgium survived. I mean, let's be honest.
Belgium was Tiger Woods out there. They had their B game, and they still got the job done.
And they survived.
Yes.
And, like, expectations drive the response. When we're talking about a result, what I mean by that is in Belgium, I can guarantee you they are snapping on the postgame show. They're going nuts on the postgame show because they played really poorly and Canada dominated them. Yet they're the number two team in the world. They got 3 points. They're sitting ahead. You know, they're at the top of the group. And in Canada, it's like, you lost, but everyone's going to be pretty happy.
Very excited about it.
Because they played so well.
Yeah, and to O's point, we talked about proving that Canada deserves to be here. I felt like they did that in qualifying.
No kidding.
Canada,
that's when they deserve to be there.
100%. And this was maybe surprising as a first effort World Cup. I think there was some nerves. I think there are a couple things that they're going to talk about they could have done. It wasn't 100% clean, but from a defensive standpoint, unbelievable. And that was where a lot of people were questioning heading into the World Cup. Is Canada's defense going to be able to stand up against these huge powerhouses? That was the world number two team in Belgium, and they looked great.
They controlled the play. I mean, the play of the game is Davies' penalty kick.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And like that's a chance to kill two birds with one stone. Mm-hmm. One, you score the goal immediately, right? Immediately. And secondarily, you do so by taking a lead. Right, something that's never happened. We know in 86, we've talked about it a million times, they didn't score a goal. In 86, they got smoked. Like, they were passengers in 86. It was never a chance to legitimately even compete in any individual match. But if Davies scores there, it's on his boot, too. He's the face of Canadian soccer. Then you're up 1-0, and it's like, let's see where it goes.
That would have been a Canadian heritage moment.
It would have been immediately a moment.
In an instant.
I'll tell you what, though, they were talking on the panel that he shouldn't have been the guy kicking it.
It should have been Jonathan David.
Well, David did not. He looked nervous to me. Like, you mentioned of a guy that looked like he was nervous. He was not sharp. He had a lot of opportunities that he, for me, didn't bring a lot of conviction to. Mm-hmm. Like, and I thought Stephen Caldwell pointed that out really well. It was great to have Luke and Stevie call the game, too. From a Canadian perspective, but I thought Caldwell pointed that out a number of times. Like, David had some really quality chances that he just did not finish on, and that was the difference. Like, Belgium had a few really high quality chances, but one great one at the end of the first half, and it's in.
But almost,
and if you can't counter, you're not going
to
win.
When you have such a big moment that early on in a match, you have to wonder. First game, first time you've been there in 36 years. These are a lot of young guys who haven't been on this type of stage at a World Cup before. Mm-hmm. And then something like that happens so early on in the match, and you have to wonder how much it gets into their head and then plays into the rest of the match, or at least for the next 10, 20 minutes moving forward until you can kind of shake it off and move on.
Yeah, it was interesting hearing Caldwell again at the end of the first half say they had played so well. They had so many opportunities. They had so much possession. And he said, like, within, I would say, 90 seconds of it being in the back of their net, he goes, you just have to make sure you don't concede now.
Yeah.
Like, you've got to get to the half at 0-0. You've got to allow yourself to regroup, because everything flipped with Belgium scoring there. Belgium had been playing horribly. Canada was all over them. Meanwhile, they won the half. And then they just held on for dear life, and they, you know, they take Hazard out of the game because they're defending and they're just killing clock. And I credit Canada because I thought they really played well. Like, yeah, they really did play well.
Dude, but that's now my only summarization of that game, Hazy. It's like, that's as well as you can play and not come up, like, come up empty-handed, man.
And because Croatia and Morocco tied, their tournament is by no means over.
Right.
Just like it's not over for Germany, who lost to Japan, Argentina, who lost to Saudi Arabia. But you got to get a result against Croatia.
That game on Sunday.
It can be over by Sunday afternoon. Yeah, you got to get at least a point. You have to. If you lose, you're out. Like, you got to get a result against Croatia, and Croatia is a really good side.
But anything seems possible. This World Cup has already been so weird. And coming in, you talked about the team 36 years ago and how it was all about, you know, being on that stage. And then this time it's all about getting the first goal. And, you know, there isn't a lot of expectation for the Canadian team, but I feel like after this match there will be now.
I agree with you.
And they're not going to be able to surprise any squads either. They're going to come into these matches, and teams are going to be ready for them. So it's...
Well, they perform the way we all expected them to perform at their best. Attack, 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 fast. You know, and that's what they did. They really had Belgium on their heels for a lot of that match. Even in the second half, I thought they played well. They gave themselves opportunities. And Belgium's the number two ranked team in the world. They were supposed to win. And it all comes down to your mentality going into the match, because on one hand, you're like, all right, Japan beat Germany, Saudi Arabia beat Argentina, but also I'm watching the match earlier and Spain beat Costa Rica 7-0.
Yeah.
And I'm like, just don't be Costa Rica, which is such a loser's mentality.
Dude,
like,
they weren't even close to that.
Of course
they were. They were awesome.
They were way better than that. They were
but
way
that's
better
a
than
loser's
that.
Mentality to just think, oh, they belong, they show
I
they can
that.
Belong. And I understand they haven't been there in such a long time. But just take it as an opportunity. Like, you can basically call it an opportunity missed.
Yes.
Whether Belgium's rated number two in the world or not, it's an opportunity missed the way they played. You move on, and like you said, Hayes, they've got to get something out of Sunday or they're done.
Yep.
So that's the only way to look at it.
That's right. Yeah, regroup. You know you played well. Watch the tape. Everyone, I thought, again, they didn't have any passengers. I thought they played really well.
Is soccer not the most suspenseful sport? I was saying to Grappler when we were watching it, like, I forgot how nerve-wracking, A, it is to watch a Canadian team compete on this level in any sport. But there's something about soccer. It's so suspenseful. It's such a chess match. Everything is so quiet and so bing, bang, boom, and then until there's an opening. And then it just explodes, and there's so much suspense.
That's why the penalty was so big.
Alfonso Davies, when he took that kick, like, don't you want to stretch your hammies or something? He stood still there for like 3 minutes or something, didn't he? Then he just wheeled up and kicked it.
Yeah, he picked his spot.
It was weird. Does he have to stand there? What was that?
No, he can move. He can do whatever he wants.
I think he doesn't want to give any tells to the keeper either.
Dude, do a couple Chip Douglas down and backs. Touch your hammies. I don't know. Something.
I think you're
get involved.
He
stood there and was staring at the ball. I'm like, I don't like this guy's mojo right now. Do something different than what you're doing. And that you want to talk about anxious, Kara, and watching and like stressful. I was like, dude, if you score this goal, this is everything.
Everything.
And it just didn't happen. And I was so I've never been more disappointed in my life. You talk about like a casual fan getting engaged. I have never been more disappointed in a penalty kick scenario than that right there. I was like, I can't believe that didn't go in.
I'm with you, man. I'm with you. I was in the green room here. I was on my own, and I was standing up like a nervous wreck thinking, not that this means you're going to win or draw the game or anything, just the significance of the goal. Like, we've been saying this for 36 years. Like, you crawl before you walk, before you sprint. Like, you got to score before
you
can even determine that you can do anything in the tournament.
But
it was so available.
You got to score before you do some damage.
You kind of got to score. At some point, you got to score.
But it would have, like, the whole story is there for you. Like,
exactly.
Alfonso Davies
on
is the face of men's Canadian soccer.
Yes.
Born in the refugee camp. The story is there. It's been such an unbelievable journey for him. For him to be the guy in that moment if he would have scored. Would have, could have, should have,
and that's it. It's not the would have, could have, should have cup. It's the results matter, and in the end, Belgium won. But I think Canada's got a lot to draw on here, and it certainly makes it more nerve wracking moving forward. They got to get a result against Croatia, but if they play like they did today, they will give themselves that chance. They will not get laughed out of Qatar. That's not going to happen if they keep rolling that way. So more on this throughout the afternoon. We're coming up on TSN 2 in a few minutes. We got a big one on the Toronto sports scene tonight. The Leafs are in Jersey looking to break the Devils' 13-game winning streak. And the Brooklyn Nets and your boy Ben Simmons here against the Raptors. How about your boy Ben Simmons last night?
You love Ben Simmons, oh?
Yes, he loves Ben Simmons.
And dude, are you on drugs? I can't stand Ben Simmons.
Like, what big defensive
guy? And by the
way,
like, what was the over-under? I think it was 11.5 for points. He had 10.
You know, he had 11. And guess what? He had 11 to start the fourth quarter.
No,
that's so how crazy. Outrageous this guy is.
What did I have? I had the
you
under.
You had the over. No, don't even start with me.
I swear to God, I hate that guy's guts more than anyone on earth. 11 to start the fourth,
that's
and he
what
didn't
I'm telling
get the,
you.
The job done?
That's what I'm telling you. And I don't pat myself on the back a lot because you pick winners and you pick losers. And if you're going to pump your tires on a win, you better make sure that you deflate your tires on a loss.
Dude, how did he not have a layup?
Exactly.
A lay-in?
Because he's Ben Simmons. Yep. It's exactly what I told you. He's not made for the moment. Brooklyn had that game last night, and Ben Simmons went into a cocoon in the fourth quarter. His stat line was outstanding. Rebounds, steals, defensively.
He was great defensively.
He's outstanding.
Embiid and Harden didn't even play.
It doesn't matter. Ben Simmons in a fourth quarter in a bad environment, an ugly environment, he is going to absolutely puke.
I mean, Philly was also shooting the lights out.
That helps.
Especially near the end of the game last night.
That can help. But yeah, Ben Simmons sat on 11 points for the final 12 minutes of the game. And that ends up under the number.
God,
so
don't ever say the name on the show again.
It's crazy.
He did that to me.
Yep,
we'll get you a
did.
Simmons jersey for it.
Sam Mitchell in about 25 minutes on the Raptor game tonight. Scotty Barnes, Gary Trent's response to being called out by Nick Nurse. And we have a trade to announce. You're going to want to hear this.
Oh,
the Leafs have made an acquisition. We'll tell you about it. We'll get into it next. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app. Now up on TSN 2. Brian Hayes, Carol Wagland, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill. Our buddy Sam Mitchell will join us in about 15 minutes. Raps Nets tonight. No news on Scotty Barnes and his availability. It doesn't seem likely he's going to play tonight. We got some audio from Nick Nurse. Talk about a comment directed towards a player. He made some comments directed towards Gary Trent that if the other coach who was employed in that building made the same comments, it would be bedlam. Be crazy.
Was it more comments talking about his defending?
No, that's the comment, but it's pretty inflammatory. Like, basically, if you don't do it, you're not going to be here. Like, it's a pretty harsh criticism of the way he feels Trent has not been defending. So we'll get into that with Sam in about 15 minutes. The Leafs, though, acquired Connor Timmins today, who's a right-handed shot defenseman in Arizona's organization. And they trade Curtis Douglas, who's a 6'8 monster center who's been playing with the Marlies. And they got to hope that doesn't become the next Mason Marchment. I don't think he will, but
I will. Of course
he could. It could be the next Mason Marchment. But Timmins comes in. This was the type of trade that I was bracing for. Like, people want a big, splashy impact deal. That's not out there. They're not going to find it. I'm bracing for even more of these types of moves between now and the deadline. I think they add depth as opposed to a big, big splash, but we'll see. But Timmins is a guy, you saw him at the World Juniors, right, Oh, and I think you liked his game, but that's a long time ago.
Hayes, that's all I can tell you about him. I can remember Steve Dryden saying, why don't you go through the game and get the clips on Timmins, because he had a really good game. And I watched this guy's game start to finish. He had a great tournament. And as I was going through his clips, I'm like, this guy does a lot of really good things, and he's going to be an excellent NHL player. The unfortunate problem is, since I did that highlights of his great shifts in Buffalo at the World Juniors, I never seen or heard from the guy. I don't know where he's been, and I have never seen one shift from him. So that was a long time ago. The World Juniors in Buffalo was a long time ago. What he's up to right now, I couldn't tell you, but he was a damn good prospect. What he does now, no idea.
Well, I can tell you what he's been doing the last few years, not playing, because he's been injured a lot. And I would think that would be a bit of a concern for the Leafs, considering they're acquiring him because other guys are injured all the time. So you're bringing in someone else who may not be overly stable when it comes to actually playing.
Like, what are we talking here? Are we talking like MCL or concussion?
Our boy Craig, let me just give you the straight facts on numbers. All right.
Okay.
Craig Button tweeting out, since the beginning of the 18-19 season, Connor has played 105 total hockey games. So COVID has been factored in there, not as many games available, but basically he's been injured a lot. So we'll see. He appears to be healthy now. My understanding is Arizona was hoping to get him through to the minors, but they'd have to waive him, and he would have been claimed anyway, so they get a piece for him. But I think it's worth a flyer. You know, like, he's got talent. He was a high-end prospect at one point, and this is a depth piece that the Leafs are going to give a shot to.
What else are they going to do more than a Band-Aid solution?
It's a flyer.
So
give him a shot.
Handcuffed. But when your Band-Aid solution might need a Band-Aid himself, that's when you run into
bit of a
trouble.
Concern.
But
yeah, bit of a concern.
I don't know what else people expect the Leafs to do right now.
This is it. Exactly. Like, they're not going to go up. I don't think that big monster trade is available, and if it is, the Leafs are not in the front of the line. You know, there's so many other teams in the league that are also seeking out that big impact. And Riley will return. Brody will return. So they are going to get these guys back. Muzzin's a different story, but their two best defensemen will return in the next month.
Brody's
and a half.
Getting close, too.
And Brody's probably
skating the other day.
Yeah, maybe 5-7 games away.
Okay.
He's still going to miss some time for sure. But I think with Timmins, you're taking a flyer in a guy that has talent and some upside, and if you can stay healthy, give him a shot. You know, I mean, I have no issue with that. Curtis Douglas, I don't think he had a future here with this team anyway, so you've basically gone one contract for another, and you brought in a position of need.
There's no doubt.
And
downside.
You're hoping you're getting the Michael Bunting part de.
Right.
Like, you're hoping that this guy slid under the radar, and Arizona just grossly mishandled his situation or his evaluation, and this guy comes in. Because, like I said, Hayes, watching that kid, I was like, man, Colorado's so lucky. Cale Makar was on the same team, and I'm like, their right side is set for life.
Mm-hmm.
Cale Makar and this Connor Timmins kid, but like I said, don't even know he's been off the radar.
Well, he also happened to play his junior career in Sault Ste. Marie. So
the most curious part of the whole thing for me. Yes.
That's the amazing thing. Like, you mentioned Bunting. Quite literally, Dubas is going back to the well. If you played in the Sioux, you got a shot. You know, the
dude,
Leafs,
I don't get it. Like, and I don't care where these kids are from. Like, the whole organization, which is actually not a far stretch from the truth, like, they could all be from the Sioux. I don't care. But it's not like they won four Memorial Cups in a row, like Darcy Tucker's Kamloops Blazers or something.
No, it's...
I don't know. And maybe it's just fluke. They like the player. And maybe it can't be a fluke, though. It's like, it just can't be a fluke that many
it's
guys...
It's not. It cannot be a coincidence that this many players come through the organization that are affiliated with the Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds.
People in the game ask me about it. They're like, what's with all these guys from the Sioux?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know. And they say the same thing. Did they have some winning streak that I'm unaware of? And I'm like,
nope.
I asked the same questions.
They had some pretty good teams when he was there. Like, he was, I believe,
dude,
he partnered
who cares?
With Sandin.
I had some good teams in Guelph when I was there. We didn't win squat.
But listen, I'm looking at the Sioux Greyhounds defense in the 17-18 season. Connor Timmins was on that team.
Okay.
Yeah, Rasmus Sandin
was on that team. Mac Hollowell was on that team. Three Leaf defensemen were on the Sioux Greyhounds in 17-18.
Their next reverse retro jersey is just going to be a Sioux Greyhound jersey.
That's honestly would be brilliant. Just have them warm up in Sioux Greyhound uniforms. And
the Toronto Greyhounds.
Oh, gosh,
Toronto Greyhounds.
The Toronto Greyhounds.
And listen, that team won a lot of games. They may have even won the OHL that year. They might have gone to the Memorial Cup. But
dude, like
it doesn't
said,
matter. I understand
cares?
That. It doesn't matter. No, it really doesn't. But anyway, you got Leafs jersey tonight. Devils have won 13 in a row.
Calling the streak ends. By the way, I said it yesterday. Can I put the 20 I lost on that loser, Ben Simmons? Can I put it back on the line tonight?
Sure. Yeah, I guess so. I'll take the Devils. I mean, I'm kind of leaning towards.
You
got to
give me 3-1.
No,
Kara,
it's the Leafs.
Hang on a second.
It's
Kara,
the Leafs, dude.
If it was Devils Leafs,
yes.
Do you think 3-1 is fair?
It's -140.
They're on a 13-game winning
streak. I know,
but
exactly. It's got to come to an end soon.
Exactly. FanDuel's got them at -140.
I was just going to say, what's the record? 17 games. Okay, so, I mean, it can't go on forever. They're getting to that point where it's...
And the
they're going to hit a skid.
They're not playing Arizona tonight or Anaheim. Yep. They're playing the Leafs. Like, Toronto's a really good team that could beat anybody in the league on any given night.
At least I have some stones. I'll put the 20 on the line tonight.
Sure.
From, once again, that loser in Philadelphia having 11 points in the fourth quarter, and he can't get a layup for me.
I know.
I'll put it on my Leafs tonight.
Can I get in on this action, because you're taking the Devils tonight. I are doing a Leaf game on Friday.
I'm taking the Leafs tonight.
Okay, sorry. So if the Devils win, then when you and I do the Leaf game on Friday, the panel...
You don't speak a word of that.
No, you have to do something during the broadcast.
I want you to hit the gritty.
On the broadcast,
know what, I'm not
in studio.
You're basically a mascot around here.
If the Devils win tonight.
I think I support that.
What does that even mean, I'm a mascot? What am I, gritty in Philadelphia?
I'll put my 20 on the line for that.
Okay.
If I can somehow like have a GoFundMe towards that panel on Friday, I'm in. All right, Sam Mitchell.
I'm not doing it. I'd rather pay the money, and I'm not hitting the gritty.
Do it.
I'm on the Leafs tonight to end the streak, and I get 40 if I win.
All right. No, you just break even if you win. Sam Mitchell will join us. Raptors Nets tonight. What does he expect out of Kevin Durant back in Toronto? Ben Simmons, if Barnes doesn't go. Gary Trent, that and more coming up. Sam will join us next. All right, Sam Mitchell here in just a moment. We referenced the Nick Nurse comment on Gary Trent earlier, and we talked about it yesterday, but why don't we hear it here before we get Sam on the line? Because Gary Trent has had an up-and-down season. He's been sick. Like, there's been a lot of illness, right, with going through the room. But Trent is playing tonight. We don't think Barnes will go. We know Siakam's out. Achua's out. Otto Porter's out. So he needs to bring minutes and production. And here's what Nick Nurse said about Gary Trent.
A little bit of a negative, right, because he's capable of really getting after the ball and getting his hands on the ball a lot. And that's what we want him to do. You know, we're going to get him his shots and get him his points, but – we want him to be a disruptor. He kind of fits us if he does that. And if he doesn't, he doesn't fit us, right? So we need to get him back.
All right, so that's Nick Nurse on Gary Trent. And again, Raptors playing Brooklyn tonight. Let's bring in our TSN Raptors analyst, coach of the year, longtime NBA, Sam Mitchell. What's happening, Sam?
Another day above dirt, guys.
Yeah.
And I mean that literally.
That's the way to do it, Sam. We just heard the comments from Nick Nurse, Sam. Do you have to have, like, certain credentials to call out a player publicly like that? I mean, a championship, you just don't care. Can any coach do that? Or is that just the way Nick Nurse operates? Take us through that whole transaction.
Well, you either earn that right by building strong relationships with your players over time, or when you've been there, as Nick has been there for a while, and then you win a championship, it gives you a certain cachet, it gives you a certain amount of respect, and the players are going to listen because, and one thing to Nick's credit, he doesn't do this often. You know, it's not like every 3 or 4 weeks like we've seen coaches in the past or other organizations. This is their way of getting their message through to their players. And I just think, you know, I think what Nick is basically saying to Gary is that you're really, really important to us, especially with all these injuries. But don't just get infatuated with just scoring. You know, I saw a game, I think about 3 weeks ago, where Gary had like 26, 27 points, but didn't have a rebound or assist. And I just thought that was odd because I've been knowing Gary Trent Jr. since he was a kid. And the thing that I've always respected and admire about him as a young professional. He takes the game very seriously, and he takes all facets of the game seriously. Like, he's not one of those guys that, because he's a shooter, all he wants to do is shoot. He will defend. He'll mix it up. He's got a tough mentality. So it just kind of shocked me that he had a game where he didn't rebound or assist.
But, Sam, being a player like you, I want to know, why can't you just call me in your office and talk to me like this? And why do you got to be a hero as the coach and go to the media? Can't we have a grown-ass conversation like grown men?
Let me ask you a question. See, what you don't know is they may have had a couple of grown-ass conversations like grown men. And maybe this, for a coach to go to this point, this is not the first time we've had this conversation with Gary. I'm sure for Nick to call Gary out publicly, he's spoken to Gary about this, and I'm sure assistant coaches have talked to Gary. And Nick, think about this, guys. Nick is not dumb. He wouldn't do this unless Masai and Bobby was on board with it. So this is Nick delivering the message because he's the one that should, because he's the head coach and coach the team. But if you really think about it, when a coach calls a play out like this and the way Nick and the front office are in lockstep, I would say this is Masai and Bobby and Nick all together trying to get Gary's attention.
With Sam Mitchell, I'm curious what you think the mood is in the room when it comes to Nick and Bobby and Masai with all the injuries they've had to deal with. They're not alone. Almost every team in the NBA is dealing with it. But Siakam's been out. Achua's out. Otto Porter's out. We don't think Barnes is going tonight. They're above 500, but it's a fight in the East. There's a lot of really good teams in the East. How do you handle all these injuries when they seem to just continue to pile up?
Man, somebody please explain to me how you got all these guys hurt. We, you know, stop 30 days of training camp, 60 practices. You only do 3 days. See, guys, I'm not trying to get off on a tangent, but see, I think they went too far. I think players still need a training camp before you start playing games. After 3 days of camp, you start playing games. That's why you see guys trying to play their way into shape. And you know what happens when you're playing your way into shape. You get hurt. They need the Players Association and the teams need to sit down in the room and say, okay, we don't need 60 practices in 30 days for training camp like it was in the past. But what we're witnessing right now, look at it. Look, the teams don't even practice anymore, and they're decimated with injuries. How do you get hurt when you don't practice and you're just playing the game? So I think that's something they need to relook at. They need to look at it. And then they need to revisit the training. A lot of teams have got away from weights, you know, weight training. And they're doing more body weight and stretching and, you know, elastic and things of that nature. That's fine. But you need a combination, in my estimation, of both. So I just think it's a combination of how they're going to deal with it. Hey, man, I guess that's what your G League team is for. You just got to call some guys up. Look, Philadelphia last night beat Brooklyn. Charles Barkley, Shaquille O'Neal, Kenny Smith kept saying, even at halftime, there is no way Philly's going to win this game. Brooklyn's going to win this game. Guaranteed. Philadelphia beat them. Mm-hmm. So if the guys who are playing look at this as an opportunity to prove not just to the Raptors organization, but to other teams who are watching that they are good players and they deserve a bigger role, now's the time to prove it. Now you got an opportunity with all these injuries. Nick can't look down the bench if you're having a bad night and just take you out. He's got a role with you. So, hey, take advantage of it.
Exist, Sam, for players to step up and next man up, et cetera. Who do you want to see step up and kind of play a bigger role for the Raptors with through all these injuries?
Well, I just think what Nick said, Gary Trent Jr. You know, he specifically called Gary out because he understands that Gary is one of those type players who can do more on both ends of the floor and not just get you 25. Gary is capable of getting 25 to 30 points, but he needs to get 5 or 6 assists. He needs to get 7 or 8 rebounds. He needs to be engaged. He needs to be that guy that can step up and lead this team, you know, not just on the stat sheet, but emotionally. So I just think Nick and those guys picking the right guy, because the thing that you don't want to do, you don't want guys trying to play so far out of their character to where they just start playing bad. You still got to be who you are. Now, you need to elevate your play a little bit, but for some of those guys who don't have that much room to elevate it, you just kind of want them to just be as good as they can be within themselves.
So, Sam, Owen and I had a bet last night. I knew Ben Simmons was going to be under 11.5 points last night. I knew it. And when he was
hang on a second here. Before you finish your thought, Sam, how does he only get 11 points? $35 million a year. Come on,
he had
man.
11 through three quarters. Go ahead, Sam. Explain that for us.
If I knew that answer, guys, I'd be somewhere else. I'd make a whole lot more money predicting these things. Right. Look, it's amazing to me. And I'm thinking now the NBA needs to start recalibrating why they pay players and how much they're paying them for this reason. You got getting guys paid now for stats. You need to start paying guys for wins. What does your stats do for our bottom line, which is winning, which is the only thing that should be able to be important. And I think that's what teams get in trouble. They fall in love with Ben Simmons, a guy that can do all these things, and he's 6'10", and he's athletic. But what he does it transfer over to winning? You know, give me a guy that gets 18, 6, and 7 over a guy that gets the 25, 2, and 2, and that never wins anything, but this guy always got us in the mix. We're always winning. We always have a chance. So I just think teams need to start recalibrating, rethinking, you know, why are we paying this guy? Why am I we paying a guy $35 million and we're losing?
Yeah. Yeah. And he gets 10 points.
Seems like a reasonable question to ask. We'll let you go, Sam. Happy Thanksgiving. Thank you for doing this.
Hey, guys, anytime. Hey, the Raptors are going to be good. And trust me, that wasn't just Nick talking. That was Masai, too. Okay. You guys know that.
Yeah, I think we're aware of that. Yeah, we'll see how Gary responds tonight. That. Enjoy it. Thank you, Sam.
All right.
That's Sam Mitchell, our TSN Raptor analyst. And I got my spotlight on Gary Trent Jr. tonight. I think everyone does, right? I want to see how he responds. And he's the son of an NBA player. He's generally a feisty when he's on his game. He's feisty. That's what Nurse is asking for. Defend.
Well, let's not forget too. He can opt out of his contract after this year. He could be a free agent. He's got something to play for now.
Yes, he does.
And Kara, it's a great point because you're going to see a reflection if he wants to expedite that process because he can just not do and he can just mail it in and say, "I'm actually going now."
Yep. Oh, so, we'll learn a lot.
There's two ways this can go. Sure. It's not like he says, I'm going to be a world beater tonight because the coach called me out. Maybe he's fed up with the coach and he's going to say, watch this one, pal, because I don't want to be here. So watch this.
Yeah.
And not out of the question.
No, but I appreciate the confidence in the culture and the winning habits that the Raptors have that Nurse and Masai, as Sam's pointing out, are willing to, you know, lay this on the line for him. Right, like if you don't want to be here, see you later. We'll find out.
I asked Rod Brindamore the same question, Hayes. He goes, "If we don't like a guy, I tell them, get him out of here.
See you
I can't
later.
Do it.
Yeah. Absolutely. Hour two up next. Canada losing 1-0 to Belgium earlier. We'll break that down. Role play level of concern still to come as well. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.